As I remember, California State Polytechnic College, San Luis Obispo, presents another interview in its series with distinguished retired faculty members. This one is George M. Drum. George, what was your first contact with Cal Poly? How did you hear about it and so on?
While I was managing a ranch at Salinas in 1931, Mr. McPhee stopped by the ranch and asked me if I'd be interested in joining the staff at California State Polytechnic College as a dairyman. And since I had been teaching some at University Farm at Davis and enjoyed working with the young men, students, I was very much interested in this opportunity.
When you came down here then in the summer of 1931, what did you find in terms of students and facilities and so on?
Well, they were pretty meager. We only had 150 students in the entire college. Eight of those majored in dairying. And the property and facilities and everything of that sort were pretty meager and pretty badly run down.
And at that time, there weren't very many people on the total faculty, George.
No. As I can recall, there were around 15 total in the faculty and the staff.
And not very much money to operate on either, I guess.
Well, I should say not. In 1933-34, the total budget for the school was $75,000.
Well, that certainly doesn't look very big in terms of today's requirements. Were you working full-time for Cal Poly your first year or so?
No, I was half-time with the Bureau of Vocational Education and half-time as head of the dairy department at Cal Poly.
What was it that you did for vocational agriculture?
I visited schools, talked to the future farmer chapters, and their request, I visited some of the projects and advised them with their dairy problems.
And did you go to some of the group meetings of teachers, the section and regional meetings too, probably?
Yes, I did, when that worked out conveniently.
Okay, real good. Now, George, I know that when you came here, you had some definite ideas of long-range developments here, and that you set up for yourself and for the dairy department some very challenging and interesting goals. I think it would be very rewarding and very informational if we could just go over some of these goals and what you set out to do and in some cases what you accomplished. And I'm sure that one of these goals was to increase enrollment in the department. Now, how did you go about doing this?
That's right, George, we had to increase that enrollment. It was too small to operate. And everyone on the staff took a great interest and worked hard to do that. I showed pictures and gave talks and visited schools and tried to publicize what we were planning in the way of a program at Cal Poly.
Were results immediate or a little slow, or did they gradually grow better?
They did gradually grow better. It seemed awfully slow at first because the school wasn't well known and we didn't have too much to work with, but once we got rolling, it came along in a very satisfactory manner.
And the fact that the depression was on and the kids just didn't have money to go to school could have been a real factor too, George, huh?
Yes, that's right. Although it didn't cost much to spend a year here at Cal Poly, as I remember, it was about $400. But that was quite a lot of money at that time. Many of the students worked part or all of their way through the college, and that was helpful.
And from that eight students, what was their peak growth or one of the high figures reached?
The high point in our enrollment was shortly after World War II, when we had over 200 students in the dairy department.
Well, that certainly came a long ways from those eight students you started with. Now, another goal, I know, was the development of a real high-class dairy herd here. What was your objective there, George?
Well, I'd worked many years with good purebred dairy cattle, and I wanted to see a herd here at the school that would be respected by the breeders and by the students as well, and of course they would be more useful to us for instructional purposes. I wanted a herd of around 100 cows of the Jersey, Guernsey, and Holstein breeds, and really outstanding individuals, both as to type and production.
And having those outstanding individuals would also give you a good foundation for training student judges and state future farmer contests and so on?
That's right. Those good cattle were very useful to teach students the successful type of cattle. And in a few years after we were eligible, our judging team in cattle ranked second in the national contest at Waterloo, Iowa, only below Cornell University.
Now, what ultimately did you achieve in the way of quality accomplishment in numbers and in numbers in the dairy herd?
We operated with over 100 milk cows of those three breeds and about the same number of young stock, and that gave us a good herd for constructive breeding program and gave us enough animals to have good classes for judging practice. And also, every year, the statewide future farmer contest was held at Cal Poly, and we needed those animals.
Now, what kind of a mark did you reach in terms of the butterfat production in some of the herds here?
Well, that's something that takes considerable time. We were averaging around 400 pounds of butterfat per cow until I was fortunate in selecting a Holstein sire that immediately jumped the average production up to over 600 pounds.
What was the peak mark, George? Do you remember? Average production.
Yes, I do, because it was a new national record. It was 639 pounds of butterfat per cow, and that stood for a few years, and in later years, two or three years, we ranked second or third with a little lower average production.
And during this time, too, the offspring of the Cal Poly herd was showing up very well in the show rings around the state and in the nation. Is that right?
Yes, we sold breeding stock to future farmers particularly, and also to mature breeders. Came here and bought herd sires, and we always tried to consign something good to the state sales to give the school a good reputation. And many of those showed up in bull studs where they did artificial insemination work, and in the herds of outstanding breeders. And so this line of breeding that we had here was well known.
Certainly famous all over the world, isn't that true?
Yes, I was pleasantly surprised to get an inquiry from Argentina and Mexico, and we exported cattle to both of those countries, and It was really amazing to find that breeders in those other countries heard about our school herd.
Now, George, the very meager buildings that you found when you came here certainly couldn't have contributed to the ultimate end of the great accomplishment that was in your department. You had a goal then of getting that improved.
Yes, we did. We got along for quite a few years with about the buildings that we started, but they were not adequate. We needed more barns. We needed a separate place for the animals owned by the students. And we needed a creamery to teach our dairy manufacturing. And until we got one, we had to take our classes down to the local creameries for factory practice.
Of course, that all didn't happen at once, but gradually over a period of years, you did get a very adequate total dairy industry plant. George, is that true?
Yes. It became a necessity to build us some new barns and new creamery because the college was expanding. It wanted to put buildings where our old dairy barns and corrals were, and so we selected a new site and planned over a period of 2 years to build a good modern set of buildings that would be adequate for many years to come. And eventually we acquired those facilities.
And would you say too, George, that not only were these buildings very satisfactory on a college, under a college setup and for instruction purposes, but were kind of buildings that dairymen could see and use and were not fancy or too expensive. Would that be true?
That's right. We had that in mind all the time, not to build something so expensive and elaborate that the ideas could not be suitable for our graduates and for the mature dairymen. We wanted to be practical with our work.
Now, I think you also had in mind that with proper management and quality animals that that this department could pay its own way. How did that work out?
Yes, as long as we were short of money from the very beginning, I had that goal in mind to have the dairy pay its own operating expenses. The state furnished us the buildings and facilities, but the expenses such as labor and feed and those kind of costs, we wanted to meet with our dairy herd, and we did that for a good many years, and sometimes we had a surplus at the end of the year. We sold cattle when they got to be of high quality for $1,500, $2,500 per head, and our milk went mostly for market milk at a good price, either to our school cafeterias or to local creameries. And it was quite a satisfaction to us to achieve that goal that we didn't have to ask the state for money to buy feed and those kind of things for our dairy.
You already mentioned the matter of training judges here on the campus, dairy judges. You also trained judges in dairy products as well as in dairy cattle?
Yes, that's right. And as our staff enlarged, we had a member who could teach dairy products judging, and eventually we sent dairy products judging teams to the national contest once as far away as Atlantic City, and they placed second there.
Is the kind of the big contest, the one at Waterloo, George, is that the one that everybody aims at?
That's right. That is an national intercollegiate contest, and there are usually over 30 colleges compete for the honors. And on a ranking system used by a leading dairy paper, Cal Poly ranked second for a good many years, just below Cornell University.
Mm-hmm. Where would some of the other places be, George, where your dairy teams competed?
Well, as the years went by, they started contests of the same kind at the Pacific International, at Portland, at the Grand National at San Francisco, and at the Great Western at Los Angeles. And during the last several years, we've had teams compete in all of those contests.
Real good. Now, I know that another goal that you had was the matter of where your graduates were going. And certainly, a few departments, if any, in the school can show a greater list of accomplishments in the high standing and high positions achieved by its graduates in the dairy division. What are some of the types of work that these men went into, and who were some of them, and where are they?
Yes, that's right, George. We were very interested in encouraging our graduates to go on and further their education with advanced degrees, and it was a source of much satisfaction when graduates such as Ray Cleaver got his doctor's degree and is now head of the dairy department at Oregon State College, and Jack Albright has a full professorship at Purdue University. Eugene Starkey is in charge of all the cow testing work in the state of Wisconsin. And many of our students started with cattle right here at Cal Poly, started herds and took them home. And two outstanding ones were two of these were Morris Ketzer over at Reedley and Jim Pappas, who have two of the outstanding herds in the Pacific Coast.
Not only did the graduates go into college teaching and other work in the science field, but many of them went into high school ag teaching, George?
That's right. There was a large number that were interested in teaching agriculture in high schools, and many of them are still doing that, and many of them are very successful. We had others that took up related work, such as with insemination associations and work of that kind, and we've been real proud of the work of our graduates.
Did any of them ultimately go on in the veterinary work, George?
Yes, there were several who went to other colleges where they gave degrees in veterinary medicine, and they were successful in getting degrees and are now practicing veterinarians.
Very good. Now, in addition to the state-owned herd that you've talked about, you also had a goal in connection with the project animals that were owned by students. How did that work out, George?
That was an idea that was in effect on a small scale when I came to Cal Poly. I don't claim credit for that idea, but it was very successful. The breeders liked the idea of the students either bringing their own cattle to Cal Poly or buying some while they were here, and getting the nucleus together of good herds. And they encouraged us. They said that was the best feature in our educational program. At first, we had to keep these cattle with the regular breeding herd. And due to the danger of bringing in diseases or other problems of that kind, we were anxious to get a separate farm where we could keep the boys' cattle, and eventually we bought a 400-acre farm right adjoining, and now the students have over 100 milk cows at this farm.
George, another objective I know was making high-quality seed stock available to students, graduates, and to breeders in general. Now, how did that work out?
Well, that was a very worthwhile goal that we kept in mind, and for that reason, we tried to buy the very best sires to use at the college that we could find with the money that we had available, and we were real fortunate in a number of instances doing that. One bull that I recall in particular, his name was Sir Bess Getty of Tearlaker Second. I saw him on a field trip that I was taking with my dairy class over at Visalia, and he was such a beautiful animal that I became interested in him and got his pedigree and went back again and got a price on him, and we bought him. And that fall, he was a grand champion at the California State Fair at 1 year of age, defeating all the older bulls, and that gave us quite a thrill. And then he turned out just as good a breeder as he was a show animal. His daughters had the highest ranking of any group of daughters of any bull in the United States at that time. It's been beaten since, but he just turned out real fine, and we sold sons of his and daughters all over the country. And after he became famous, breeders were anxious to get semen for artificial insemination, and we provided that. And in that way, he had a national influence on the Holstein breed.
How much money did you have to buy a bull, George, at that time?
Well, I got a purchase order for $300, hoping that I could get that bull. And when I went to the owners, they were asking $350, but when I told them that I had that order for only $300, they accepted. And it was really a wonderful buy, because later on, after he was proven, he was worth many thousands of dollars. We had such noted breeders as Pabst Farms in Wisconsin try to buy that bull.
Value could have been as high as $20,000 or even more then. Is that right?
That's right. There wasn't really any limit as to prices when they put these bulls in artificial insemination associations. Many bulls sold for more than that amount.
Now, George, as I recall it, with your great interest in dairy industry and dairy breeding, that you did have an opportunity to visit the places of origin of some of our famous breeds, Channel Islands and so on. Could you tell us just a little bit about that?
Yes, I was very fortunate, and I appreciated the opportunity to travel on my sabbatical leave to Europe, where I visited in Holland, which was the native home of the Holstein Friesians, and also on the same trip I visited the islands of Jersey and Guernsey in the Channel and it was really very interesting and worthwhile to see the native home of our prominent dairy breeds.
Well, that certainly was a wonderful part of your full life and dairy work and dairy instruction. Well, George, you certainly provided us with some wonderful memories and recollections and information. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this program?
Well, I would like to conclude with the remarks that It was a most interesting career that I got into, working with these outstanding young men and seeing them go on in life and become successful, and seeing the dairy animals improve over the years, and working with the other staff members, and working with the farm as I had to do over the years. I thought that I had about the most interesting, enjoyable line of work that anyone could find.
Well, George, at your retirement, you certainly left a tremendous host of friends amongst your present and past students and the adult breeders in the state with whom you've worked over the years. And you have today made a fine contribution to this program of As I Remember. This interview has been conducted by George B. Cooper.